You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I'm Leslie, part of leadership here, and I do like shopping. Well, I used to. It's not quite the same now. But I do like a bit of retail therapy. And my often, if we're in town, Tony and I, our little meeting place will be Marks and Spencer's. It's amazing what happens outside Marks and Spencer's. But actually, Tony doesn't call it Marks and Spencer's. He said it's M and S because it's men standing, waiting for others. So that's a little joke. Okay, is that acceptable? I wasn't going to start with one, but that's the best I can do on the spur of the moment. Wow, God is so good. We are continuing our go and make disciples, particularly focusing on the go. And it's just so good to hear what Esther was saying about the practical ways that we can go. Don't have to go to Miles. We can do it here in Hereford, in Ledbury, in Ross, in Leominster. We can do it where we are. And actually, we can hear Jesus talking through it. We should expect to hear Jesus talking through whatever we're doing at the time. It's not that he'll just say once, go, and leave it at that. He will talk daily to us if we listen. Because he's given us the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, as he said when he was returning to heaven, I will leave you with the Counselor. So the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our go, to hear it, and actually when we go. So, as Esther just said, our go could be geographically moving to a different place for a long time. I'm just looking out across and see Malcolm and Heather. They had a go last year. Was it last year or was it even the year before? Year before. And I can remember it was a prayer meeting on a Sunday night, and then we were sort of sharing and saying things and prophesying amongst the prayer meeting on Zoom. And then they came to see us and they said, we believe God's leading us to go and stay with our family over in Leicestershire. Is that right? It was a journey, because it was a journey of faith, but it was also a journey where they had to put their house on the market. They had to move, but it was a call of God to go. We miss them. It's great to see you. They're sitting over there. I heard Malcolm's voice. Oh, Malcolm's there and Heather's there. Okay, I won't ask. Okay. What was that about biggest shoot? That was a joke, right? So, where is it your go going to be? Geographically, where's what you'll call our mission field, our go? Is it your college or university, your place of work, your social circle, your school, your sixth form, just your friends? It's wherever God puts us, wherever God sends us, that we can practically show that love of God, practically, the love of Jesus. And Esther just gave some really good ways that we can actually do that. Drink of water to somebody, bunch of flowers to somebody who's down, a little card, a little message, helping them practically move, having a coffee with them, just listening sometimes. When they have the opportunity to just speak, offering to pray, sometimes our last resort. And I've been there, and you just think, well, all I've got to do is, all I can offer is to pray. And it's like, oh, please. And it's like, wow, that was not what I was expecting. We do need to be more expectant. And I think God's bringing us into that place as well. I'll cover that in a minute. So this morning, I'm going to look at the story of Abraham and when God told him to go. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to look at Genesis 12, verse 1. Okay, just checking if you've got them, if you've got there, Genesis 12, verse 1. The story of Abraham and how he was called as the father of Israel goes on a lot of chapters in Genesis, so it's worth when you're at home going through them. I'm just going to sort of skim the surface really, but try and give you the essence of what he felt like when he was called to go. So Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, notice his name is different to what we call him now, said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Wow, it's a bit of a tall order. Really? Go? Take everything? Well, take what you need. In some cases, it's not even that. Go. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Imagine God saying that to you. It's like, what? But you know what? It's the be blessing. Be blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we are all called to go and do, to be blessed, to be a blessing. I remember Tim doing a really good preach some time ago on being a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And if we can't think of it in any other way, how can I bless people? It's quite easy sometimes. What actually would help that person? How can I demonstrate the love? I don't need to browbeat them. I don't need to sort of beat them over the head and tell them how Jesus loves them. Wouldn't have worked with me before I came to know Jesus, I can tell you that much. We were shown the love of Christ through friendship, through relationship, because that is what God calls us into, a relationship. Amen? So we're called to go, to be blessed and be a blessing. So Abraham obeys God. He's, yeah, okay, that's fine. It's no problem. It's what he does. Probably had a lot of doubts. He was a man, but he takes his family, his household and cattle and goes. And along the way, he's often building altars, making sacrifices, showing his worship and dedication to God. It's a daily lifestyle. God said something, and quite often he would build an altar, and it might be given a name, because it was a time when God spoke to him. It was something to dedicate to. But he is promised by God several times he'll have many descendants. And in Genesis 13, verse 4, so we're into the next chapter now, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Wow. What a thought. East to the west, north to the south, count it. It's like, wow. At this point in time, he has no offspring. That is a step of faith. That is like, how on earth is God going to do this? Okay. But God's on in verse 17, he says, go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. And I think there's a bit of a clue there. When we are sent, where we are sent to, whether it's in Hereford, Ross, Ledbury, Leominster, further afield, walk the area. A while back, we used to do prayer walks. I remember one year before I went back to work and we had Tony's income, I actually took on the Yellow Pages, delivering them round our area, because I thought, you know, it's a bit sneaky. It's a bit of a prayer walk, but I get paid for it as well. And every Yellow Page that I delivered, it was like, Father, bless this house. It was an amazing prayer walk. It was me on my own with these sort of Yellow Pages in this little trolley. But actually, it was a great time with God, just going to those places, prayer walking the area, taking authority, because God gives us an authority. When Jesus sends out the disciples, he sends them out with authority. Go, walk the land. Amen. And then in Genesis 17, Abraham was 99 years old now. Wow. And the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. I think that's also a key. When God tells us to go, be blameless, be faithful. Because you know what? The enemy or people who see us will be the first people, if we do something wrong, they'll say, oh, as Christians, I didn't think you'd be doing that. I don't know whether you've experienced it. Somehow they suddenly know what it is to be a Christian better than we do. It's like, oh, well, you're not doing that. And it's like, yeah, okay, you know, that was wrong, or I repented, or I'm sorry I've done this. But you know what? Walk with integrity. Let your walk be blameless. And it talks when Jesus sends out the 12 and then the 72. Like sheep amongst wolves, with integrity, with gentleness. no reproach. The enemy will try and put reproach on us. We can put enough reproach on ourselves, but just maintain that integrity. God said, let your walk be blameless and faithful. Then I will make a covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Wow. Still hasn't got any of his own children. He does try to put a little bit, sort of do things his own way for a while. So he decides, okay, my wife Sarah's not having it. Sarah's not having any children. Okay, so she says, oh, here's my maid. Maybe that is how you're going to get offspring. Not quite doing it God's way, but just trying to sort of, okay, getting a bit frustrated. Let's see what we can do. And very easy, that's easy to do. Things aren't happening quick enough. Let's help God out. Let's just interfere because we know a better way. And to some extent, we're putting ourselves in God's place as opposed to in God's hands. I've got a quick way. I've got a shortcut. No, just leave it. Just trust it to God. It is natural. It's quite human to sort of think, oh, well, I want this to happen. Let's do this because it'll be quicker. But, you know, sometimes God has to put other people in place and other things in place before we actually see the fulfillment. So we're called to walk in faith, integrity, and blameless. And in verse 4, as for me, this is what God says, my covenant with you will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant. That's my promise, my agreement, as an everlasting agreement between me, you, and your descendants. Wow. That's my covenant. That's my promise that God says, I will make you fruitful. He says that to you today as you're thinking about your go and as you're doing your go. I will make you fruitful. That's God's promise to bear fruit. And then in chapter 15, God also says to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give her a son, give you a son by her. That word again, I will bless, so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of peoples will come for her from her. At this point, bless Abraham, he falls face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? It didn't compute. He couldn't get it. Can it really happen? That point of getting to, really, I'm not sure about this. But he felt face down and worshipped. God said, it seemed impossible. And it goes on in verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. That was going to be their offspring. It's like, how can this be? Whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And some versions just say, at this time next year. But I really believe we are coming into a season, a due season. I've been part of CLC for 30 years. And might be a bit like you. Sort of we were told it, sort of we'd looked at it as a leadership. We're doing the go, we're doing discipleship. And my instant reaction with my cynical laugh, really, I have to say, Tony knows this, was, again, really? In my old age, these dry bones, you will be fruitful. Do you know what? Yes. Because we are coming to that due season where the words of God that have been spoken over this church, this city, some of you sitting here, will come to pass. Esther just said about the walls being broken down. This is the time to go over them and plant. This is the time to see broken lives restored. This is the time to revive people who are dry, who are scared, who have lost confidence. They've lost confidence in their relationships. They've lost confidence in their friendships. They've lost confidence where they work or in the local council. They need help. They need to be built up. And you know, that might be just what God has brought us for. Amen. But this is coming into a due season. And you might think, over the long time, I've planted so many seeds. 30 years here, Noah's Ark planted seeds, rainbows, the work that we do with Mums and Tots, seeds sown. The number of seeds that we have sown into people in Hereford. And I truly believe this is the time that that due season will see them grow, that we'll see those seeds coming up, just like that first crocus or little sort of snowdrop as it comes up, just poking through. That wall is down. We need to go and just help the plant the seeds that we've planted, that actually God's planted. It might be nothing we've ever done, but God is just going to bring those seeds that have been sown in people's lives, maybe by other people, even generations ago. He's going to bring them up. Amen. Oh, that's not loud enough. I need it louder. Amen. Amen. Okay, moving on. Just having a little drink of water. Can't plant and grow seeds without a bit of that water of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So that's the seasons. So a season of fulfillment of prophecy. Get out those old prophecies. There are so many. There was one about this being a hub that reaches out to different parts of the county. That was, what, 10, 15 years ago? It's happened. We've got churches in Ross, we've got churches in Leominster, and churches in Ledbury. That took a long time until that actually came to pass, but it did. And those little acts of faith that happen along the way, they build up our faith as we go. So, Genesis 18, verse 9. I'm not going to cover that, actually, don't worry about it. But again, Sarah laughed to herself, and it's like, really? Am I going to have a child at my age? Yes, God said so. Am I going to see revival at my age? Yes, I believe God's saying so. Amen. But it also showed me that sometimes God has to say the same thing over and over in different ways to the same person before we actually believe it sometimes. And he just exposes a little bit more along the way. When I was doing Aqueduct, which was to raise funds for educating girls, I had no idea where the money was going to go to. I just knew I had to do it. I remember Tim asking me, where's the money going? And I was like, I don't know. God hadn't shown me yet. I did research. And there was one evening, it was in a Catalyst meeting over towards Coventry. And I sat next to the guy who was planting a church in Pakistan. He was the pastor for Pakistan. I was so excited. I was like, wow. This is what I've been waiting for. This is it. This is the guy. Got a load of information, read through it, met with him, and it was like, actually, no. God said no, and it's like, what? And then a day later, I spoke with somebody else, and he said, oh, there's a little charity called Aqueduct. I'll send you the details. Went online, looked at it, was like, wow, that is the very one. A very small charity, not known. And when I contacted them, they said, you are the answer to prayer. Because the money we were looking at raising was going to cope for the 10 schools they'd just been offered from UNICEF. It's like, wow. Listen to God every step of the way. He reveals as we go, so don't worry. So our mission impossible is what God makes possible. Okay, sometimes it might look, I can't do that. I can't pray with people, as Esther just confessed. Sometimes it's to step out. When I was preparing this yesterday, I'd sort of known all week what I was going to do, came to actually finish it off. What does God want to say? And it was like, oh, it's not what you've put down. It's like, no. What are you doing? Because that was my comfort zone. And Tony said to me this morning, he said, are you okay? And I said, well, actually, God's changed it. It's not quite what I expected, but got to go with it. Because I trust God more than I necessarily trust what I would think is my comfort zone. Okay, so you might think it's not your comfort zone. Who do you trust more, God or me? Who's actually in charge of everything? God, not me. He's never let me down. I do let myself down. Okay, just putting that out there. Trust God. It might be big, it might be small, it might be like, go and run a coffee shop.
Yes, I'm looking at Steve now.
But do you know what? I'd much prefer to do it and step out and have a go than not bother and think, oh, I can't do that, it's my comfort zone. Do you know what? Let's laugh at each other if we make a mistake. If I make a poached egg, and this is said to Lynn if she's listening, and it doesn't poach properly, I'm sorry, I'm trying. But Steve's very good, so I'll leave him to do the poached eggs for Revive Coffee Shop. Is that all right? Okay. So, our mission impossible is what God makes possible. And then in chapter 21, Isaac, that promised son, is born. After all the ways that they've gone, all the things they've tried to do in their own strength, their promised son of fulfillment is born. And I love it when Sarah actually says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me, not at me. And she'd had that cynical little laugh of, what, children at my age? And God changed that laughter of cynicism into a laughter of, everybody's going to laugh with me. Because God has brought it through. God has kept his promises. And you know what? I can't wait for us to be laughing with each other. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Because this is the time for those seeds to start to grow. For that harvest to be coming. We've had lots of new people here recently. Some of you I've got to meet and just a coffee and chatting. A quiz show. Yes, we won. I can see Louisa out there. Yay! But we laughed together. It was fun. Laugh as you go out. Blessed as you go out to bless others. Amen? So Isaac is born. Abraham had to wait a long time to see its fulfillment, but he waited. He tried to do his own things at times. He tried to go his own way and sort of do his own plans, but he kept going. He was faithful, and in the end, God gave him his promise, Isaac, his child of promise. But as I said, it had to come several times to grow their faith and hope. And sometimes God will say the same thing in different ways and through different people. And as I was sort of looking at that yesterday, I was just reminded about Hebrews 4, verse 12. And it says, the word of God is alive and powerful. If God speaks to you, it is alive. His word is powerful. It changes situations. It changes people. So the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. The cynicism of my soul compared to the power of my faith, my spirit in tune with what God says and does, cutting between that two-edged sword that will bring revelation. Okay? It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I went over to the back earlier on in the worship because I just wanted to get a feeling of what God was feeling. And you know what? I just sensed there is a yearning that is cutting through into our innermost beings, our spirits, that we might not even know is there because actually we've left them there for a while. Because they've sort of been grown over through COVID, not doing anything. But you know, the word of God is coming and it's going to push through. It's going to push through in our lives. And I believe it's going to push through on the lives of people that don't even know Jesus yet. Those disciples that we are going to make. And the more times that that word of God comes into us, it actually forces, but in a gentle way, it exposes the flesh. But it exposes the spirit, and it exposes it into our spirit, not to be painful, but to just get it into our hearts. Those hearts on fire. We sang a very dangerous song earlier. It's like, wow, what are we saying to God? Set our hearts on fire. Do you know what? God does answer prayer. If you sang that this morning and that was the yearning of your heart, you know what? He will set your heart on fire. You might think at the moment, I was a little bit dry. A little bit more flesh needs to be cut away. But I think the time is coming where God is going to break through into our hearts. So then he can break through into others. Be blessed to be a blessing. Be fruitful. Multiply. Amen. That's Abraham covered. I'm just going to very quickly go through Jonah, because this is another guy in the Bible that God spoke to, but he wasn't quite so obedient. If you know the story of Jonah, it makes it easier, because I'm going to literally just skim over it. So this is Jonah chapter 1. It actually says Jonah flees from the Lord. He doesn't run to him, he flees. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And it says, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. God says, go, preach to that city, because I know they've got wicked people there. But actually, I want to save them, give them an opportunity to repent, to bring them back to me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. It's like, whoa, that's far too big a call. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee. I can get away. I hate to tell you, you can run, but you can't hide. And you'll find that in Genesis 2 with Hagar. She runs, but she can't hide. Because God has a plan. Okay? And God eventually sent a storm and the sailors threw Jonah overboard because they established that it was Jonah was the reason that they were having this storm and that their lives were at risk. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed to do the wrong thing. And then it does have a bad effect on other people, possibly. Let's obey God where we can. So God sends a storm and the sailors threw Jonah overboard and he ends up in the stomach of a whale. I was reading, going through this on Superbook with Camilla, who's three, and it was like the stomach of a whale. So we chatted, can you imagine it? Smelly, horrible. A big whale, but yeah. Not nice, so do be warned. And then eventually Jonah prayed and he said, God, I'm sorry. I see what you've done and I've totally walked in the opposite direction. God immediately answers his prayer and the whale vomits Jonah back up. Yuck. But it brought Jonah to that place of repentance where he just said, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I haven't done what you've asked, but God is gracious. And you know what? He gives Jonah another opportunity. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time and it said, go to the great city, proclaim the message that I've given you. So Jonah does. However, it doesn't all end up well for Jonah, because actually, Jonah gets really cross. He is angry, in fact. And it says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, because the city, Nineveh, didn't receive any of God's punishment. They weren't punished. God showed compassion. And it was like, but they deserve to be punished. They've done so many bad things. Everybody knows it's a wicked city. They're against us. They deserve punishment. But God showed compassion. So God and Jonah having this little discussion. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, isn't this what I said was going to happen? This is what I tried to stop by going to Tarshish. I know you are gracious and a compassionate God. Slow to anger and abounding in love. He is. He's gracious. Our God is compassionate. He's abounding in love and relents from sending calamity. Jonah knows that. So why wouldn't he want to tell the people in Nineveh? Because he thought he knew better than God. He thought they deserve punishment. And it's just like, oh, well, that's it. You've not shown them any. You know, you've shown them mercy. They deserve judgment. God, take away my life, for it's better than to die as a mockery amongst my people for sending them your message. God said, have you got any right to be angry? No.
We have no right to judge people, to judge who God should save and judge who God shouldn't save. That's not our call. We watched The Shack last night. That's God's call. If we start making that call, we put ourselves on the throne. We want to be God making that judgment call. It's not ours, it's God's. And actually, in the end, Jonah saw that actually God is abounding in mercy. He's slow to anger. He is compassionate. And all ended well. But sometimes if we're called to go somewhere, we might think, oh my goodness, can't do that. That's just a way beyond me. And you might even think, go to a certain people group? No. Go and help ex-convicts. Go and help drug addicts. Oh, I can't do that. You know, sometimes God has to change our hearts first before he lets us change other people's. We have to have God's heart. And in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, God's promised this. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Sometimes I have a stubborn heart. It's like, no, God, I don't want to do that. But ultimately, my heart has to change. I need to have that word of God that cuts between flesh and spirit so I can go in God's purposes, God's plan, with God's love, motivated by his compassion, not motivated by my brain, my thinking, what I want to see happen. Okay. And in the worship today, Marie said about Isaiah in Isaiah 6, who will I send? God, send me. I know it'll cost. I know I need to change. But God, send me. We might be the only person that can reach out to somebody that nobody else has. I had a friend, lived in Leominster. She lives in London now. I still see her. She was divorced, and she used to say, you are the only person I ever have a hug from. I was the only person that showed her compassion. I was the only person in a difficult time that showed her love. You might be the only person that can break through in a situation. You might be the only person that can bring revival to someone whose heart is broken, whose life is broken. And it's like, wow, we are privileged. We are blessed to be a blessing. As Esther put it, things you might not expect. And yet they speak practical ways to show the love and compassion of Jesus. So I'm just going to wrap this up now and bring it together. When we are told to go, it is to be a blessing to us and a blessing to others. It teaches us obedience in the going. Worship, sacrifices, prayer, and answers to prayer grow faith on our journey. Walk blameless lives. I think this is on another slide. Is it slide 16? Oh. Is there another slide? That's it. I think that's the one. Turn around. Yes. So when we are told to go. Blessed to us and blessed to others, teaches us obedience, worship, sacrifice, prayer, and answers to prayer grow faith on the journey. Walk blameless lives, be holy. We have authority that has been given to us by God. Walk the area, go around the area, take your authority, lay hold of it. God is patient with us, you'll be fine. God may need to change our hearts first before we can change others. Be teachable. Allow God in. Go and make disciples. Our mission impossible is what
God makes possible. It's not down to me. It's not dependent on me. And as I was sort of going, preparing for this yesterday, and it was like, God, what do you want to say to people? And I know that there's people here and online who need circumstances to change in order for their release. And you know, it's coming. I want to give you faith and encouragement. It's coming. We waited quite a long time to get to this point where we can do more in the kingdom. But it's coming. Yes, it can be frustrating. And God wants to deal with that frustration as well, to give you peace. It's coming. Hang on. 99 years plus for Abraham, but he hung on. Don't give up, okay? So some of you, you're frustrated. You know your call. You could be online. You know your call, and it's, to some extent, it's sort of in that heart of yours, and you have that yearning. It is coming. That is a seed that God has sown that he wants to bring out. He wants to draw that out of you. Might be a bit painful because it's like got a few years of, oh, well, it's been a while. But believe me, God can do it. God has the bigger picture. It might be that you have a go, you know what it is, but he needs to put other people in place first. It's like, oh, I want to go now. I don't do frustration well. My sons will tell you. I don't think either of they do, but my husband certainly will. The other leadership will. He doesn't do frustration. So believe you me, I know what it's like. It's like, I want to go. But sometimes God has to put other people in place first because he has the bigger picture. He knows what he's doing. Get hold of prophecies. Look at the word of God over your lives. That two-edged sword to speak into your spirit, to reveal the good things that God's put there that he wants to draw out. He wants to increase our faith. Expect miracles. Expect the unexpected. Because you know what? The wall's already down, as Esther said. Let's walk over it. Just go. Make those disciples. And this is the season of breakthrough. This is our due season, when things are going to come to fruition. Some of you have been here a long time, and I know you, and we know each other. And we've heard those prophecies, and it's like, wow. And slowly by slowly, they come to pass. It's like, wow. And that little seed builds on another one. That due season is coming. Amen. So be expectant. If you haven't heard your go, do you know what? It might be where you are, and you just haven't seen it. It hasn't got into here yet. Let it bypass your eyes and just get into your spirit. Go. Be blessed to be a blessing. So I'm just going to pray over us. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God with a plan and a purpose, and that is for us to go, to demonstrate your love, to demonstrate the gospel, and just make disciples. Because, Father, you loved us. You love us. You love the world. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you trust us to go out and do this, that Father, you have our best interests at heart. And Father, I pray for people that are seeking that breakthrough, that Father, you will tear the walls down that just are in their way, that Father, you will bring release to people, that Father, where there's people that have a yearning in their heart, either to know you, that they don't know you yet, that Father, you will respond to them. Father, where there's a yearning in our hearts to go out and reach people, that you will motivate us because of your love. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have everything in hand, that I can trust you, that you are faithful, and that, Father, my impossible and our impossible you make possible. In the name of Jesus, amen.